Welcome to each one. It's good to see you here. Let's bow our heads as we get started. We are thankful, Father, for the promises and the encouragement that is found in your word. May our gratitude and our appreciation for your word be manifested in our lives. I pray this in Christ's name, asking you to be with us here now. Amen. It has been about 3 weeks ago now that we began our study in 2 Peter. 1 Peter was a few weeks before that, and I know that you're enjoying the study, as am I. There's good evidence that this epistle of 2 Peter was written very close to the end of Peter's life. Gratefully, his advice turns out to be very relevant for us today, and it includes each one of us as we read it. 2 Peter 1:1, we are reminded that we have all been given a particular possession. What was it? Mike just read it to us. New Living Translation. I'm writing to all of you who share the same precious faith that we have. Faith that has been given to us by Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, who makes us right with God. We've been given an invisible substance. That is our faith through Jesus Christ. One New Testament contributor has labeled this faith the invisible substance. The reference to that is Hebrews 11:1. You all know that text. The evidence of things not seen. One translation of this text calls it the confident assurance of that for which we have hope. So let's talk about faith for a few moments this morning. How important is this invisible substance? As we've just heard, in the first few verses of 2 Peter, faith is the very foundation of our Christian character. We studied about this Sabbath 2 weeks ago. It is the bedrock or the groundwork from which springs all other Christian graces. Make every effort to apply the benefits of God's promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence, which will lead you to knowing God better, which will lead you to self-control, which will lead you to patient endurance, which will lead you to godliness, which will lead you to love for other Christian brothers, and finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. You see, the cascade of Christian graces all starts with a gift of faith through the righteousness of our cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Faith is the most basic of all building blocks for the foundation of the Christian character. Subsequent to that are all the other stair steps of our Christian character, those we just read. These various stair steps lead us to the summit of a Christ-like character, which is love. Here are those qualities sequentially: faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. It's like faith and love are the bookends as the components of our Christian character. 2 weeks ago, we had a sermon on, what was it? Surely you all remember. Love. Yes, Mike Flick gave us that sermon. This week, we're at the other end of the bookend, shall we say. As you might imagine, scriptures have a substantial amount of material on this subject of faith. Now, this morning, I'm going to skim down a short list of verses about faith that are well known. These verses undoubtedly have helped us to define our perspective on the subject of faith. So here we go. What is it that allows the quenching of fiery darts of the devil? Shield of faith. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, the pinnacle of which is love. There's the bookends again. Love on one side, faith on the other. By grace you are saved through, it is a gift from God. The just shall live by Abraham was strong in, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. That's right. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is a gift of the Spirit. We are admonished in 1 Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Paul is to receive a crown of righteousness because he fought a good fight. He finished the race and he kept the faith. Faith is the confident assurance of of the invisible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. All the heroes of the scriptural hall of faith receive God's own approval, yet they are awaiting us to take full delivery of the promise by faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Those who are sanctified are to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. Jesus delivered an end-time parable to his disciples about always praying and not losing heart. Then he asked them a thought-provoking question. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith upon the earth? This is precisely the reason that I like to say, now is not the time to give up on your faith. So this morning, we're going to briefly review a couple of stories that illustrate the Christian characteristic of faith. One story you well know from ancient times. Another one is more contemporary that I became familiar with over the past few years. I hope that you'll find both of these examples very encouraging for your faith. All of us know the biblical account of Daniel. Daniel is taken from his homeland in exile as a young man by King Nebuchadnezzar in 605 BC. He spent the remainder of his long life in Babylon working as a what? Government official. At the same time, he served as a prophet of the true God and was a respected statesman in the court of no less than four heathen monarchs. Jesus called him a prophet both in Matthew 24 and in Mark 13. Throughout his life, Daniel was uncompromising in his faith toward God. Because of the events that are recorded in chapter 2 of Daniel, he was given a place of prominence and responsibility in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. Was Daniel a Republican or a Democrat? Whatever Daniel was, he was on the opposite end of the spectrum as the pagan king for whom he served. You ever think about that? How did he manage to pull that off? He was prime minister. After the king's death, Daniel's role in the government apparently changed. However, late one night, he was summoned to interpret the writing that appeared on the wall at Belshazzar's feast. Later, he was made part of the king's cabinet under Darius and lived until the third year of Cyrus in 536 BC. His ministry was a testimony to the power of God, both in his personal life and through the divine prophecies that he wrote. The story of Daniel and his three friends, and also the story of Daniel in the lion's den, must be among the most inspiring that are found in the Bible. They're an expression of faith like nothing else. These young men were an exceptional model of an expression in faith and trust in their God. Even though they were very young, and it appears as though they were teenagers, they lived the endorsement of a firm character of faith. These young men possessed this type of character as they faced their challenges. One might be tempted to think that more mature believers would even have more developed characters in God. No question that we need more Christians with faithful characteristics like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What was it that gave them this type of character? It was their faith and their reliance on God. 100%, no question about it. Christian character comes from trusting God. Then we are blessed with the components of the Christian graces. Christian living. These young Hebrews had full confidence in their God. We can observe this in their simple yet their direct answers to the king as he insists that they bow the knee to a false god. What would you have said to the king? Put yourself in their shoes. What would you have said to the king? What do you do when you're faced with a set of serious, life-threatening circumstances? This morning, let's look at the several ingredients of their faithful characters. As we trust God, our characters will be made commendable to Him as well. Please turn in your Bibles to Daniel 3. Daniel chapter 3. We'll be reading chiefly in verse 16, 17, and 18. This story reflects five important items that faith will bring to your table. It brought it to the table for these young men. First item will be taken out of verse 18. But let's read all three of the verses here, 16, 17, and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Faith brings conviction. One of these Hebrews' most principled statements is found in verse 18. We will not. A person with Christian character will have convictions that are based upon the Word of God. There are certain things that these individuals will simply not do. They already have their mind made up about these things. To have biblical conviction is to find out from the Bible what God's opinion is, and then to fasten up our willingness and to make his opinion our opinion. Our convictions are not based on personal preference. They are firmly based on trusting what God has said in his word and our resolve to follow it. The second thing faith brings is consecration. Verse 17, the basis of their reasoning as found in verse 17 was this: our God whom we serve. Consecrated Christians are totally devoted to the Lord. These young men knew that God would deliver them out of the king's hand, whether he delivered them from the fire or not. They were going to be delivered. Dead or alive, the thought of death was of no consequence to them. They knew who they served. They knew who was their master. They were totally and completely devoted to the Lord. This is the kind of consecration that God is looking for today. Christian faithfulness comes from trusting God. This faith in God will give you biblical consecration and devotion to God first of all. Third point, faith brings courage. You'll note that these young Hebrew men were not afraid to state their faith. They were not afraid to state their values. Another word for that is their beliefs. Another word for that is their teachings. Another word for that is their doctrines. They had no problem with that. In verse 17 and 18, they inform the king, our God is able to deliver, but if he does not, we are still unwilling to serve your gods. Amen. What courage these young men had. They believed that God would deliver them from the fire. And if for some reason he did not, they still would not serve the king's false gods either way. They knew what they were facing. They'd been told about the fiery furnaces. Perhaps they were a few yards or a few hundred yards from where these furnaces were located. They knew what was prepared for those who would not worship as they had been commanded. These young men had Christian character. Sometimes people will say something like this: Lord, if you just pull me out of this mess, I'll be in church next Sabbath. You ever heard that? What's left unsaid is this: if you don't help me this time, then you won't see me at church again. Sometimes the same things happen with, shall we say, tithing. If you get me out of this financial mess, I'll start tithing. Is that a faithful witness? It takes faithful courage of character to do what is right, though it appears the heavens are falling around you. Fourth point is this: faith brings consistency. Look at verse 16. From the mouths of these faithful young men, we hear, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. What does this mean? What they were actually saying was this: this is always the way we face this type of temptation. See, this was standard operating procedure for the way they did their business. Recall when they refused to eat the king's food? Still the same answer. They didn't even have to think about it. They told the king so. In our vernacular, we might say, King, this is a no-brainer. They always knew what they were going to say because they were used to saying it that way. They had made the choice to trust in God and consistently put Him first. Wherever you work, whoever you deal with, people will ask you questions, or they'll present you with a set of circumstances, or they will set a situation before you. Something happens to you. We need to have consistent answers, reflecting our trust in God. If we make the right decisions long enough, we will not even have to think about the right answer. As a physician, this comes across our plates quite often, actually. Dr. Hershey, what do you know about abortion? My daughter needs an abortion. I don't know anything about that. I don't believe in it. Last week I heard, can you tell me something about physician-assisted suicide or euthanasia? I can tell you this, I don't believe in it. If we make the right decisions for long enough, we will not have to think about the right answer. We won't think twice about robbing a bank or going to the bar. We won't think twice about whether or not we're going to church this week. Who has a sermon this week? Say, I think we'll go to the coast. You know, I'm not feeling so well today. If we trust in God and His Word, we'll not need to be inconsistent when it comes to responding to temptation in the right way. Just keep on choosing His way. Of course, that will make the devil angry, but it will also put a smile on Jesus' face. He's promised to help us make the right decision and to resist temptation. Character comes from trusting God to do what He says He will do. This faith in Him will give you Bible consistency. Listen to what Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Fifth point, faith brings companionship. All through these verses, verses 16 to 18, and through the first several chapters in Daniel, we notice the references to we, us, our, they, in relationship to these young men. We as human beings wish to journey with the type of people that we want to be. You know that? You know that already. People of faithful character enjoy being around similar people. It's encouraging to them. In fact, you will notice that they attract others of similar persuasion. If you don't believe me, just look around the room here. See who you enjoy being with. This is a natural consequence of living with Jesus in your heart. If we wish to have friends that are faithful, honest, loyal, hardworking, then we must choose to be that type of individual ourselves. The Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart. This means that Daniel made a choice to serve God. In doing so, Daniel chose his friends at the same time. Did you ever think about it that way? When we choose to be a character of faith, we will naturally be choosing our friends as well. Of course, sad to say, the opposite is also true. You may not have as many friends, but the ones you have will be faithful characters as you are. Don't we thank the Lord for the friendship of the citizens of Christian faith? Yeah. Christian character comes by having faith in God. He will be pleased to supply your Christian companionship. So there you have it. The gift of faith brings us conviction, consecration, courage, consistency, and companionship as we make our way up the cascade of these Christian graces. I think you understand this morning that this world needs Christians who have totally and completely given themselves to the Lord. These are they who have taken God's wish as their command. Our world, our community, and our church needs faith-filled characters just like Daniel and his friends. Closing, let me give you an encouraging example of some modern-day characters of faith. It was almost 25 years ago that Maranatha Volunteer International began an incredible relationship of commitment with the SDA Church in Cuba. Some of you have been there and have seen that. When Maranatha first went to Cuba in the mid-90s, I think it was about 94, The government had just opened it up for churches to be able to go there and to do social type work. It had been a very difficult number of years since the Russians had left the country. Fidel called it the special period, very difficult period. And at the end of that 2 years, Fidel called all the Christian leaders into the capital and told them he needed help with his social programs. And that allowed Seventh-day Adventists, who incidentally had just arrived on the island, to be involved in rebuilding churches and building new churches. And over the years, that's just what Maranatha was involved in. On the first list that was given to Maranatha volunteers for churches to be built or rebuilt was the name of the church, Cardenas. Cardenas is about 2 hours straight east of Havana, found in a very heavily communistic population, even to this day. I believe I heard it's the fifth largest city in Cuba. It's a good-sized city. And these people wanted a church. They'd already been praying for a church for several years. So as they looked over this list, Maranatha volunteers got their projects engaged and began to work on these churches. Praise the Lord, they have built over 100 churches in Cuba and have refurbished more than 100 as well. So they've been very active. One church that never moved forward was the Cardenas Church. Understand that you have certain permits and all kinds of similar related sorts of things to apply for to get a church even refurbished there. And there's all kinds of hoops to jump through, and it never went forward. I was explained to me that it's sort of like in this particular instance, the Cardenas Church was here in the city of Cardenas, and right next door was the county, and they had purchased the land next to it so they could tear down the one church and build a big church on both lots. And so they were combining, in our world, something from the city and something from the county. And it was very difficult to get these permits through. And so there it sat. And what do you suppose the members did? They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. Maybe you've seen on Maranatha stories the pictures of the people who had calluses on their knees because they prayed. So about 20 years went by after this list was given. Maranatha was going through the whole process for that church and other churches. In some areas, the work was going, shall we say, gangbusters. In other areas, it wasn't going as well. In Cardenas, it was stopped dead in its tracks. And finally, it seemed that there was no reason, no ability to move forward on this. And so Maranatha leaders were in Cuba one Sabbath day for some other work and thought it best to go over and talk to the folks at Cardenas to inform them that though they'd been praying for many years, at least Maranatha was not going to be able to help them out with this project. The door had been shut, okay? So the Maranatha leaders arrived at the church on Sabbath afternoon to find that the entire church had been waiting there all day to hear from them. Can you imagine the sight coming in there and having to stand up and tell somebody that had been praying for, say, 25 years, that they were not going to get a church? Everything had been done. Nothing seemed to be able to move this project along. So they did. Somebody stood up front, explained that they were sorry, it wasn't going to be able to go forward. What do you suppose happened? What's that? They started crying. Their hearts were broken. Not tearing up like this. I mean, wailing. They struggled. And in, shall we say, a moment of clarity, he said, well, let's bring somebody up to pray, okay? We need to have somebody come and pray. Who do you suppose the church member sent up? 10-year-old girl. A little 10-year-old girl came up front and said for her prayer, and this is it. Thank you, Jesus, for providing us a church. Now what do you do? They kept praying. People kept praying to get these permits through. What you're about to see is what came out of this.
The sun is coming up in Cuba. After decades of prayer, today, the new Cardenas Seventh-day Adventist Church will be dedicated to God. Member George Castillo helped to build the church. In the past 2 days, he was part of the human brigade of strength that moved the piano into place to be built and tuned. He was also part of the crew that installed the church's front doors. Maritza Piedra and her mother, Maria Elena, who have been praying daily for the church for 3 decades, catch the horse and cart taxi for a ride to church. George Lopez, an elder always seen at the old church making things happen, is just about to go to the new church. The tiny, overcrowded Cardenas Church is now said to be one of the largest buildings in Cardenas. 18 busloads of church members from all over Cuba have come to witness the dedication of the Cardenas Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Y nos regaló algo precioso. Estamos muy contentos.
Es maravilloso. La iglesia más bonita que hay en toda la provincia de Matanzas. Muy bella.
Today in the morning, I was here and 2 guys came. They were not Christian. And they came and they were watching the church. And they were talking about how beautiful, how nice the church was. For this city, this church is very important. Because the Adventist Church in this city is very famous. Everybody knows it.
It is a sanctuary worthy of the God it represents. The sanctuary can accommodate 500 people, and the fellowship hall upstairs, connected by video and sound, another 250 people. Music dominated the dedication with a stringed orchestra and several choirs and groups, reflecting the great joy of the day's events. More than 1,200 people gathered to witness the opening of the long-awaited church, including representatives from the Cuban government and the Seventh-day Adventist World Church. There was preaching. There were baptisms. There was joy.
faith is the substance of things they had hoped for. Today, it is the evidence of things they could not have possibly seen. By faith, these members obtained God's own approval. Through faith, they understood that the Word of God created the worlds and everything else in them. What they see today was made from that which is invisible. Their faith provided their conviction, consecration, courage, consistency, and Christian companionship. What a wonderful example of the faithful Christian character. Father, we thank you for the wonderful examples that you set before us as Christian characters of faith. Might we be stewards of the faith that has been given to us and carry forward up the cascade ladder of Christian graces that we might reach the pinnacle, Christ-like love. We know that's your wish, and we pray that you will make it ours.
Amen.
Pray this, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.